2 Peter chapter 3, begin reading in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18 is our text verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And let's pray. The Lord, I ask that you'd once again be with me. Help me as I preach this evening. Lord, please help take it and use it to be a help to the folks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The idea that first line in verse 18, which says,
you have a text message.
Hold on. Stand by. I just got this. Wait. Now I'm having trouble. Get thee behind me, Satan. Sam said this morning, turn your phone ringers off. And I don't know. I had it off for a while. I don't know what's going on. but anyhow, it can wait. You know, you folks are worth it. And that first part of that verse, but grow in grace. And the idea of growing in grace this evening, I'm going to talk to you about growing in grace for just a few minutes. And the idea that I think as Christians, we'd all say, you know, if you say, Who wants to grow spiritually? Who wants to grow in grace? I think all of us, those of us who are saved, we say, yes. You know, we'd all raise our hand and say, we want to grow. We want to grow in grace. We don't want to be stagnant and, you know, go year after year without having any signs of growth in our spiritual life. And we're going to look at this idea of growing in grace. And grow in grace, and we'll get at some indicators that we can look at and use to see if we're growing in grace. And we're going to look at, I have three of them here that I'm going to share with you, as far as we can use these as those indicators. We can see and look back and maybe over the course of a few months, or, you know, maybe a lot of times it... New Year's, you know, the New Year's resolutions, or whatever you want to call them, New Year's decisions, whatever you want to maybe take an account, look back over the past year, and see, you know, kind of say, hey, you know, am I growing? Am I growing in grace? And we're going to look at a few of those this evening. We see first, grace nurtures trust in God. Grace nurtures trust in God. Grace doesn't shield us from trouble, but it gives us the ability to trust in God through those troubles. If you've been saved any length of time, and you know that is true. Just because we're saved doesn't protect us from all, you know, nothing bad happening. You know, no problems, no trials, no anything. You know, it's not that prosperity Christian life, you know, where you get saved and nothing, you know, it's all smooth sailing from there. It's not true. But the thing is, it does give us the ability to trust him in those problems. You see that you remember the Paul having the thorn in the flesh. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, those very familiar verses, that very familiar line, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That idea that God didn't take that thorn away from him. But he said that my grace is sufficient for thee. And that part of that one line in the verse, that's something that we as Christians, we know, most people know that line. And not only did that grace help him through the infirmities, it allowed him to experience the power of God. You know, how many times in our lives, and maybe in some of the stories in the Bible, did the Bible characters see the power of God work in their lives, going through those problems? The same in our life. You know, maybe it's something big. Maybe it was something that maybe, in compared to other things, is smaller. You know. Maybe insignificant comparably to other things that we may go through in our lives. But the thing is, as we grow in grace, we'll learn to trust him through those problems. You know, nowadays, when people don't get what they want, they want to throw a fit. The ones that were throwing fits in the Walmart, 10 years ago, now they're throwing fits in, walking down the interstates. And the thing is, the many Christians kind of have that same idea, I guess, that same thinking. You know, they're faced with a problem. And they're going through those trials, and they start complaining about the situation rather than asking God to give them grace through it. And I think, unfortunately, don't raise your hand, because I think we all probably raise our hand. There has been a time or two when we've done just that. And going through those problems, going through those testings, we might have caught ourselves once or twice complaining about them instead of just trusting him and trusting him for the grace to get through it. And the thing is, we need to make sure that we turn to him and we look for, ask him for the grace to help us. So, the old saying, and as Christians, we'll kind of chuckle about it. And, the idea of don't pray for patience. You know, why when you say don't pray for patience? Because the next thing you know, God will send testings your way to teach you patience. And, and we've all heard that. And the thing is, why is it that we say that? Why do we chuckle? Because we've all found out that it's true. But the thing is, too many of God's people, they're not growing in grace. They grow in grumble. You know what? Their grumbling, increases. You know, they're too busy complaining about what God's allowing them to go through. And I can't understand why God's allowing this to happen to me. Instead of just turning to him and asking for the grace to get through it. And once again, this is one of those things that I know it's easy to say. It's easy to preach, but it's hard to live. In the years that I've been here on earth, and there are those that are, a lot of you are older than I am. I mean, I'm sorry. The older I get, the more I'm seeing these situations and dealing with different things that are on a, they're on a smaller scale than what many of you are dealing with. And I know that it's not that it's easy to say. And it's easy to tell somebody else and, you know, like kind of, you know, stiff upper lip. You can do it. God's there for you. But the thing is, it's hard. Sometimes that's hard to live. But we can find that grace if we go to Him. And we can grow in grace. So the first thing is, are we increasingly trusting God through the difficulties? That would be one of the indicators. The second one would be grace produces praise for God. Not only does grace nurtures trust in God, grace produces praise for God. The more we grow in grace, the more we'll want to praise Him. The more we grow in grace, the more our hearts are tuned to sing praises to Him. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, in that idea of singing praises, you know, we need to have a song in our heart. I told you, what was I share with you a couple weeks ago, within the last couple weeks, Sam coming to work and he'll have a song of the day. Song of the day. And, you know, and then it'll be like, oh, he'll like, here, this is song of the day. I say, well, do you, and he'll say, do you know that one? I'm like, yeah, I know that one. I'm just not in the mood to sing it right now. You know, let me finish my coffee, then we'll see. And, but, you know, he'll have a song of the day. And but the thing is, you know, we won't be singing praises if our hearts and our minds are filled with the world's songs. You know, when it comes to teenagers, we'll say, well, you know what? They need to not be listening to the world's music. And that's true. But you know what? That's good for us, too. That's good for people my age. You know, how are you going to be thinking about the goodness of the Lord and thinking of praising Him when we're singing the world's music in our head all day? But the thing is, we need to be singing praises. And if we, as we grow in grace, we'll be singing those praises and thinking about His goodness to us. I read that God gives you somewhere approximately to 23,000 breaths a day. I don't know. I've never counted them. But it sounds reasonable. But the thing is, how many of those do we use to praise the Lord? You know, throughout the work week, do we use one? Do we find ourselves praising Him for what He's done and singing praises to Him? Do we have that, making that joyful noise, some of us? You know, Sam's trying to get different people to sing, and he's like, "Do you want to sing for the revival?" You know, I was like, "Well, okay, I've sang a few times, not recently," and he's like, "All right, we'll make a joyful noise up here." So, see, I'm not telling you what night. So, you know, I don't know if that'd be to draw you to come back or to keep you from coming. I don't know, but look out, I'm singing one of these nights. And with some other people, but the thing is, having that joyful, making a joyful sound, joyful noise. And over maybe the past year, do you find yourself praising Him more? Do you find Him find ourselves being thankful and thinking about what He's done for us? That would be a sign that we're growing in grace. You know, do we find you find yourself praising him for what he's done, or focusing on more of what he what we think he should have done for us? You know, see, you know, the idea of living by faith, and then there, I come across so many Christians that have this idea of, you know, this is what, you know, I'll be happy and I'll praise him if he does this, and this is what I think he should do for me. They have it all planned out. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure where they get it. I think it, if it's like, here's how I think it should be, and God answers that, it, you know, I don't know. Maybe it gives them a little bit of security, thinking they have a little bit of control. I don't know. I mean, I think most of us have lived long enough to realize that, you know, it's not in our hands, no matter how much we think it is. But are we praising him more? That would be an indicator if we're growing in grace. And then not only that, number three, we're growing in grace, it creates a desire to give to God. Creates a desire to give to God. Remember when the church at Macedonia, they gave to the Christians in Jerusalem over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So their deep poverty, they weren't the millionaires. They're saying, you know what? I'll give you some money. You know, they were just average people, but they had a desire to be a help to other Christians. And to be a help to the work. If as we grow in grace, it'll cause us to have a desire to do more, to help more, to give more. You know that idea that come tax time was all messed up this year. You know how July 15th, and being self-employed, guess who took advantage of that one? This guy. And but it wasn't. I think it was around the beginning of July, so it wasn't too bad, Brother Sean. I still had a couple weeks. The idea that many times I'll take, once I get my taxes done, I'll take that and compare it with my giving record. And it's like, am I giving more? You know, we can start out by saying, here's what I made over the year, 10% of that, does that match? Then you can see if you've been robbing God or not. But then you can also take it and say, you know what? I gave a bigger percentage this year than I did last year. And no, it's not a contest. No, it's not a not a game. But do you have a desire to give more so that people can be reached in our community, so that the gospel can be carried throughout the world through missions? Grace creates a desire to give to God. We can take this and use it as a measuring stick, if you will. You know, as a child, maybe. And when your kids were little, or maybe when you were growing up, you have a doorway, a door jam, maybe in your kid's room, or you know somewhere where they keep track of how high, you know, how tall they're getting. You know, doing remodeling. Every once in a while, we'll come across we'll go into a house and you know like the pantry, the door jam on the pantry will have. You know, different marks, and you know this is from 8 years ago. You know, you can see how their kids grew up. And the thing is, you know, why do you do that? Well, you see where, oh, well, look from, you know, in a year's time they grew, you know, 3 inches or what have you. But you know what? There, we should have a desire to grow in grace. And there are some things that these three different things we can take and use as a gauge to kind of see. And as we look back, maybe over a period of time, maybe a year or so, you can take look back and see and ask yourself these questions, and you'll see if you're growing or not. You know, are we increasingly trusting God through the difficult times? Do we praise Him frequently and freely? And do we give more generously than we used to? There's three different areas, three different things that we can take and use as a maybe a yardstick, if you will, to see it and measure our growth in grace. Like I said, I'm sure we'd all say we want to grow in grace, and here's just a few simple ways that we can take and use these things to mark that growth and challenge ourselves to grow in grace.